Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, reading 8 verses. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." But let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come to you, asking, Lord, a morsel from your word. Help us today. Give us understanding. Give us something, Lord, for our souls. And we're careful to give you the credit for any good thing that is done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you know, we're studying these three chapters, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus takes his time to preach or to teach about the Holy Spirit. And if you've been with me long enough, you know that really I'm going through the book of Exodus, and currently we're taking a break from Exodus chapter 17, the chapter that talks about the Spirit and the flesh. And there's a battle that goes on between the two in which one will you yield to? You, me, every Christian. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." This word "I am," in the Greek, it's ego eimi. It's used 8 times in the book of John, if I'm not mistaken. And it means "I am." And it references the great "I am." Jesus is claiming with this phrase that he is God. And the other times that it's used, we all know these verses. "I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine," etc. But he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." The Christian that does not bear any fruit at all, and again, I'm not the judge. I can't look at one person and say one thing or look at another and make any kind of judgment. We're warned not to judge another man's servant, the other man being Christ. We can pray for our brother. We can see the fruit that is in his life, what have you. We can know them by their fruits, but ultimately God is the judge. So let's let him do the judging. But he says, "Every branch in me," if you're in Christ, "in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." That is something that we should heed. We need to live right. We need to live a holy life. and righteous life. We need to be looking for his return. We need to be obeying the things in the Word of God. Live for God. Live worthy. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. And if we don't bear fruit, well, it's up to God to decide what to do. But he says, "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And that is the subject of my message today. Jesus said, we're to take up our cross, an instrument of death, to take up our cross and bear it. We're on the straight and narrow way, hopefully. We're on our way to heaven. Thank God for that. But as we are on this road, as we're on the street called straight that Peter was on, we should take up our cross daily, he said, and bear it. We should forsake ourselves. We should deny ourselves. We should mortify the deeds of the flesh. I can hear Paul's words in my head. This is not a popular message. People don't want to hear that we should forsake self. We're all about glorifying self and improving self and loving ourselves. Well, I think we do that too much, really. The Bible calls us to forsake self. In Luke chapter 9, verse 16, this is the feeding of the 5,000 or 4,000, I don't know exactly the number. He says, "Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before the multitude." Now let's look at that. He was feeding the multitude, but he took the 5 loaves, then he blessed the 5 loaves, then he broke them, and then he gave to his disciples. And that pattern, if you'll remember, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus walked about 5 miles or so with these 2 disciples. And they said that he needed to come home with them and eat or what have you, to find lodging or something. In verse 30 of this chapter, Luke 24, it says, "And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and then they knew him." This pattern that he has, that he had and really has, because we know that Jesus is alive, and he's at work in the heart and the life of the Christian. He took, he blessed, he brake, and he gave. God will take you. God will call you. You'll hear the gospel call, and you repent of your sins and say, "I want to follow Jesus." He takes you. And then he blesses you. You understand the fact that your sins are forgiven, that your sins are washed away. You find the new life. You've tasted and seen that the Lord, he is good. And there's a time of rejoicing where he blesses you. Maybe he calls you to preach. Maybe he baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. Maybe he fixes all of your problems, takes care of problems in your family or on the job or something. He blesses you. But then he begins to break you. And that's the hard part, when he begins to break you. But his ultimate goal is to be able to give you to others, to give you to the world. Maybe if you're a Sunday school teacher, or maybe if you go to feed the homeless, or you're like me, you make mission trips, or anything that God would have you to do. He wants to give you to the world. First, he has to take you. You must be saved. Certainly we need the blessings of God, but the breaking, we don't want to hear about that today. We don't want to hear that message that we have to be broken. But we must be broken if we're to be given out. Like that bread, you can't just take one hunk of bread and do much with it. You have to break it. In Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, he says in verse 5 and 6, "And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and it immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." We've all heard this parable preached many times. We've all said, well, we want to be the good ground, what have you. We want to bear fruit. We want to make it to heaven. But it says, when the sun was up, it was scorched. You see, if you're going to grow tomatoes, or you're going to plant a tree in the front yard, or something, all plants need sun. I understand houseplants maybe don't need as much, but they need some sun. You can't take a houseplant and put it in the closet and close the door and expect it to live. They must have sun. If you're a Christian, you need to grow in the faith. You need to read the Word of God. You need to pray. You need to attend church and hopefully hear some good sermons. You need to listen to good music, hopefully, and be blessed. But there's a growing process. There's a maturing process. Remember in verse 2 of John 15, he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." We want to go to heaven. We want to allow the Lord to do something in our lives. But he says, "Every branch in me that does bear fruit, he must purge it or prune it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And in verse 8 it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Isaiah chapter 1. One of the things that I love when reading the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, what have you, is the cleansing effect that it has in my heart and the breaking effect. And many times it's painful and almost physically painful to read, at least for me, the Old Testament, especially the prophets, because God deals with the stubbornness and the things in the heart that he's not pleased with. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, and I'll read just bits and pieces, "Hear, O heaven," in verse 2, "and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. For they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward." Very harsh words, but they're written for us. I know it's about Israel, but every jot and every tittle is written for us. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. We make a mistake when we find some reason to explain away the Old Testament. We need to heed it. We need to understand it and read it and love it and cherish it, because God is trying to prune us to get us ready for heaven. He says in verse 21, "How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts or bribes, and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come before them. But this is God's response. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, saying, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies. And notice what it says in verse 25, And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. He starts off telling them how bad they are. But then he says that he would turn his hand upon them, Israel, and begin to purge them. To purge away thy dross, when the word dross has to do with impurities in metal. And as you heat, many times we've heard the illustration of heating up gold, and certainly that is true. Well, I've never heated gold, but my dad, he's a hunter. He's been shooting and hunting all his life, and he casts his own bullets. And I've watched him take impure lead, lead perhaps off of the wheel weight of a car, for instance, and he will heat it. And I watched this, as I said, many times as a kid, and the impurities would float up to the surface, and he'd skim them off. That's what he's talking about. This is what God does for us. And again, many times he talks about silver and gold, precious metals. But he wants to do this for us. But in order for the dross, the impurities to float up, he's got to turn up the heat in your life and in my life. This is something that must happen. We said that the parable of the sower, that the sun came up and it had to come up if the plant wanted to live. This is something that God does for us. He has to do it. He has to purge us. He has to clip away the branches that aren't bearing fruit. He has to do this, and he does it, however painful it might be, he does it because he loves us. He loves us. And I thank God for it. You say, Brother Kelly, I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I sing in the choir. I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls that do. And all of that is wonderful. That's fantastic. But you see, our thoughts, our ways, our methods, they're imperfect. And many times they're wrong and evil. Many times the way that we run our churches is wrong. God has a better way many times. And many times the focus is on us. Many times the focus is on what we have done in our church and our denomination and what have you. He says here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, he says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God has a way. It's rooted in the way of the cross, as we started out at the beginning of this program. The way of the Spirit. And again, I'm a Pentecostal. You can make comments if you wish. It's not about speaking in tongues. The message of Pentecost largely has to do with forsaking self, getting self out of the way, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, forsaking humanistic thoughts and methods and plans and what have you, and depending upon God for the increase. But this is a process of purging, of pruning, of refining. You can look at the life of Joseph. God blessed Joseph when he was just a lad. God spoke to him. God gave him dreams, visions. God had him prophesying when he was just a teenager. I don't know how old he was. But he suffered. Every one of his brothers despised him. And you know the story. They were going to kill him. They threw him in a pit, what have you. And he ended up a slave. He ended up in jail. But eventually God elevated him, and he was the second in command in all of Egypt. And he rescued his family, and also, by the way, everybody else in the known world, by being wise during that famine. And he was able to provide. And if it wouldn't have been for him, a lot of people would have suffered and maybe starved to death. God had a plan, and God wanted to use Joseph. But there were things in Joseph's life that God had to get out, and it had to be the mocking of his brothers. It had to be the prison. It had to be that pit. It had to be. You can look at David when he followed the sheep. He spent a lot of years just him and God, and you look at the results in the book of Psalms, because he allowed God to take the things out of his heart that were not right, that were against the Lord, really against the Lord. Because we said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, that our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And we need to unlearn many things. John the Baptist, I must decrease, but he must increase. Look at Israel in the wilderness. 40 years. It took that long to get self and the ways of Egypt out of them. Look at Jesus in the wilderness. He spent 40 days. Why? Because he had to forsake self. He had to quit depending upon self. I know that he's God. He's also man. And the ways of man cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. John the Baptist, I must decrease, but he must increase. Isaiah, you can look in chapter 6. God revealed himself to Isaiah. He saw the cherubim or what have you. He was there in heaven in a vision. And up against the holiness and wonderful presence of God, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Turning back to John chapter 15, in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Let me say that again. Without God, you can do nothing. Without depending upon his Spirit, whether you're Pentecostal or not, I don't care. You cannot reason a man to be saved. You cannot talk a man out of drug addiction or alcoholism. But God can deliver. God can set free. God can do these things. We cannot. Psychologists cannot. The rehab programs cannot, really. But God can deliver. We must depend upon him. We must get back to a dependence upon him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You know, many times churches will pray. They will say that they pray. And then they go and do what they want and claim that, well, look, we prayed and look what God did. When many times it's just them using the act of prayer, the religious act of prayer, as a cloak for their self-will. You see, it's not about you. It's not about your church. It's not about how important you are. It's not about your denomination or your ministry. It's not about any of those things. God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. But in the work of God, in the winning of souls, in the work of the ministry, you do not matter. You are expendable. You only serve at the pleasure of the Father. You say, Brother Kelly, what are you saying? God can call a donkey in your place, or raise up stones to praise him in your stead. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need your methods. He doesn't need, well, that's the way we've always done it. He doesn't need these things. What he needs is the old-fashioned message of the cross of Calvary and a dependence upon God for the things that we need. He doesn't need your programs. He doesn't need any of these things. We should get back to the old paths. We should get back to the old message of trusting in God and believing Him to win the lost and to break the addictions and what have you, to bring sanctification in the heart and life of those we minister to. You can't clean them up. God can, and God will if we get out of the way. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.